There you go.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you this morning as we gather to you. Lord, we look to you today for a fresh unveiling of your heart to us, O God. Lord, I ask, O God, that I would disappear today. Lord, I come before you and I just ask, O God, that you would be seen and heard. Lord, that you would be the thing that would draw men unto yourself today as we lift you up in this place. And Lord, I thank you for the worship that has gone forth, Lord, just to pave the way this morning. Lord, you know every heart that is represented. You know every intent,
yes.
Every thought, every longing, every motive. And Lord, you desire to reach down today and touch us afresh. Lord, I thank you so much today for your word. Amen. And I ask, Lord, that you take the little loaves that I have and the few fishes that I have, Lord, and Lord, multiply it for your glory, for your purpose, and feed your people today, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was standing down there, I wasn't going to share this, but the Lord had put this on my heart to share for someone this morning. You're looking at a man who came to the Lord when he was 13 years old. And though I came to the Lord when I was 13, I was a very tormented young man, full of fear, full of anxiety, and it carried over into my adult life to a point where it practically paralyzed me. And I had tremendous fear and anxiety and had gotten to a place where literally I thought I was going to lose it. I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown. And there was a man from Scotland who came to a meeting. We were having him in Binghamton. And I went to that meeting. And I was desperate. I was desperate for God. I had been literally probably for 2 years could not sleep a whole night through. I would be pacing the floor night after night after night, just crying out to God, Lord, I need a touch from you. And it was in this meeting that this man came up to me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he looked at me and he said in his Scottish accent, which I can't do, he said, Brother Gaddy, he said, those thoughts are not my thoughts, saith the Lord. And last night when Mark was sharing about how Bob Lake spoke into his life and that altered his life, that word altered my life from that moment forward. And I felt to share that because the Lord put on my heart that there is someone here today. I don't know who you are, but you have been battling. You have been battling with thoughts, fears, anxieties that have tormented you for a long time. And God wants you to know He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. You're here today because God has brought you here. You're here this weekend because God wants to do something in your life and He's going to alter your life this weekend. One of the things I see the Lord doing in this hour is I really believe he's after a deepening cry in a people. I believe he's after a strengthening cry in his people. An expression that at times cannot even be formed by words. But it's something that can only be given voice by the Holy Spirit. But it's a cry that causes his heart to act or causes his heart to move. And in the Bible, in Luke's gospel, and just follow along. I'm not going to ask you to turn anywhere today because I'm the type of guy that I just try to keep going along. I'm not going to have you turn to to various scriptures. Just listen and follow along. But in Luke's gospel, chapter 18, there's a very familiar story of a widow who came to a judge, and she came to this judge time and time again pleading her case before the judge. And it's a very familiar passage, and it's going to lay a foundation for what I feel to share today. But the need for a deepening cry, the need for a deepening of our faith, beloved. And in Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 7, it says this: "Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he not delay over them? For I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth?" Now, I believe it was Rick who once said the parables in the Bible were written to leave you with something, leave you with a response. Many of them were open-ended in that it would leave you with this thought: where are you? Where do you fit in? Where do I fit in? What is our response to what comes to light? And in this parable, if you read it, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, there are two thoughts that begin to take shape. And the thoughts are this: growing pressure and a deepening cry. Yes. Growing pressure and a deepening cry. And I want to say that any true spiritual work that God does in our lives in relation to his purpose and his will is always met with growing pressure. It's always met with increasing pressure. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So we can expect pressure. Pressure within and pressure without. And the sovereignty of God in relation to the pressure, I believe, is to give us or to give birth to a deepening cry within us, a deepening cry within a people, an expression. Because God wants us to be his full expression in the earth.
Yes.
And one of the ways he does that, beloved, is he brings us to a place of what I call wit's end. He brings us to a place where we lose and exhaust all of our natural ability and possibility. And there are four verses in the Bible that when we take in context, I believe, bring out this very thought. Now in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, it tells us, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." But in Matthew chapter 2, in the 18th verse, we read that a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they were no more. And the word that's used for the word lamentation there, which is omitted in the New American Standard, but it's in the King James Version, that word lamentation there means a sad song. She was singing a sad song. How many of us know that God sings a sad song sometimes over the state of things? In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I will ask of the Father and he will give you another helper or another comforter." That is the Spirit of truth. And the last verse is in Romans 8:26, where the Apostle Paul speaking says, in the same way the Spirit or the Comforter also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with groaning too deep for words. Too deep. I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit doesn't take away the groaning. He actually facilitates it. Sometimes He facilitates the groaning within us. And so when we take these passages together, we begin to see that God, I believe, has a different concept of comfort than we are accustomed to. Sometimes God's thought of comfort and concept of comfort is different than we've understood. We think of comfort as this, the absence of something, the absence of pain, the absence of struggle, the absence of hardship, the absence of discomfort. But God sees comfort in a different light. And in Rachel's case, she's refusing, the Bible says, to be comforted. And yet somehow, as we read in Romans, she is singing a song of lamentation. She is singing a song. In other words, there's this expression of something that is so deep that only the Holy Spirit can cause voice to that which is crying out within to be heard. And how many of us, I want to ask us this morning, how many of us at times in our lives, and perhaps there are some of you here this morning, that have experienced pain so deep inside that you can't even put words to it. Right. You don't know how to express it. You don't know how to form the words that need to be said, that you need to say or need to be said. And so all you can do is groan. All you can do is find yourself groaning deep inside because you just can't put words to what you want to express. Times when expression is given because it's God's pain that is in the heart. And Rachel refuses to be comforted. That is, she somehow refused to be comforted by refusing comfort from the needs all around her. And what I mean by that is the last thing you and I want to do, beloved, is define comfort by a lack of concern. One of the marks of the Holy Spirit, I believe, one of the true marks of the Holy Spirit upon a person's life when we are governed by the Holy Spirit is that He causes us to refuse superficial comfort.
Yes.
He causes us to refuse a surface comfort. He causes us to refuse a comfort that says, as long as I'm okay, that's all that matters. I don't care about the rest. As long as everything is going okay in my life, then that's really all that matters. A mark of the Holy Spirit upon a person's life is that they refuse that type of comfort. And it's out of desperation. Are you desperate this morning? Are you desperate for God? Are you desperate for the Lord to do something again?
Yes.
Are you crying out to Him, Lord, move. Once again, raise up your testimony in the earth. And it's out of desperation that He begins to give voice. He begins to give expression to that which refuses to be comforted by any natural or self-seeking comfort. To that which refuses to settle, to compromise, to question. How many of us have questioned God? God, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? He gives voice to that which refuses to shrink back, or even in that shrinking back, to be disobedient to what He has asked and required of us to do. Now, it was a season in Rachel's life when, and we know the story, where she was barren. She looks around and she sees her sister bearing life. She sees others bearing fruit. She sees the fruit in her sister's life. She sees the promises of God unfolding. And how many times have we looked at different people? How many times have we set our eyes on other things and seen the fruitfulness that is taking place? And yet all we can do is look at our own lives and see the barrenness that is there. And there's barrenness for different reasons. But how many of us have had magnificent promises of God spoken over our life? And how many of us have had wonderful things spoken to us by the Lord? And yet we don't see the fulfillment of those things as of yet in our life. And how many of us can look and say, God, it's a barren thing. It doesn't appear to be any fruit. There doesn't appear to be any fruitfulness. And God, all I can do is look at others. And all I can see is you fulfilling the promise that you have spoken over them. And God, it seems like you're going on in their life, but here I am, and you've spoken magnificent promises into my life, and God, I don't see anything happening. All I see is what seems to be barrenness in my life. God, have you forgotten me? Now, maybe this is a word that you're not used to hearing here. And I thank God for the men of God that I've sat under. And I have to say this. I said to the Lord last night, I said, Lord, I'm not a teacher. And I said, I'll leave that to the big guns. Amen. And the Lord said to me, I don't need a gun. All I need is a stone, a little stone. All I need is a little stone. And I want to say to you, that maybe you're here today. This is what God put on my heart. I know God put this word on my heart. I struggled. I said, Lord, is this the word you want me to bring? And the Lord said, I want you to bring this word. Because there are people that need to hear this. You look at others and you have seen others being blessed. You've seen God doing something in their life. And yet you look at your own life and you say, Lord, I don't see the fulfillment of the promises that you've spoken into my life. All it seems is when I look, all I see is the barrenness that is in my life. And here I am, Lord, and you've given me promise, but I don't see much fruit. But I want you to know something. It was at that moment, and this is the reason why I shared this little testimony before I started, because it was at that moment of desperation. It was at that moment in Rachel's life when Rachel begins to groan, as it were. And there was something in me back in those days when I was pacing the floor, when I thought I was going to lose it, when I thought I was going under, when something inside took over inside of me and began to groan and say, no, I am not going to give up. God, I know you're going to bring deliverance for me. Something began to take place and rise up within me. It was a groaning beyond myself. It wasn't something I could give voice to. All I could do was just cry out. And it was like the Holy Spirit gave voice to that groaning. And Rachel, in that hour of desperation, begins to groan. And the Holy Spirit begins to give birth to her desperation. He begins to give voice to her pain. He begins to give voice to her situation that can only come from Him. I want to say to you, God, and I've seen this time and time and time again in my life, that God brings us to a place of desperation. That's right. Because He's after a cry within us. He is after something that will produce His hand to act, His heart to act. It's an expression. It's a groaning of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives voice to, that God hears. God sees and God acknowledges. And I want to ask, are you here today with disappointment in your heart? Can you be real? Can you be real and transparent? Can you come into this place? You know, oftentimes we come into this place and we kind of put on a mask. Oh, we, you know, we have it all together. Oh, you know what? We're coming in. There's spiritual people here. I have to put on some type of spirituality. But can we be real with God?
Hallelujah.
Can we be real and transparent? Maybe you're here today and your heart's filled with disappointment. Maybe your heart is filled with fear. Maybe there's questions that you have. Maybe there's a pain that you've been battling with so deep, like I said, you can't put words to it, but the Holy Spirit is doing something. There's a groan in you that says, God, I need you to move again in my life. I need you to do something in this situation. And it's in that moment, at that moment of desperation, that God begins to cause this groaning within Rachel. When we say no, I'm not going to get comfortable. I'm not going to settle for the condition of things the way it is. I'm not going to allow myself to go down that path of superficial comfort, but I'm going to refuse to be settled. I'm not going to allow this to take a hold of my life, but I'm going to allow the groanings of the Lord to give birth to that which cries out for life again. I'm going to choose to put away any doubt and unbelief. I want to tell you, that is the one thing that has always been able to triumph over the testimony of Christ. It is our doubt and unbelief.
Yes.
When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, being delivered out of Egypt, they saw the miracles of God. They saw the greatness of God. They saw the testimony of God. And yet when they got to the borders of promise, they failed to enter because of disbelief. They looked at the giants. They looked at the littleness of their own strength. And sometimes we have to just rise up. Even when our strength feels little, we have to rise up. We have to find the strength within to get up and look past our own littleness and go through the open door. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Jesus speaking says, I put before you an open door that no man can shut. And he says, though you have littleness of strength, you have kept my word and not denied my name. I put before you an open door. Christ Ministerial Fellowship, I'm here to tell you this morning, there are open doors before us. There are effectual doors before us. It is time to arise. It is time to go through the open doors. And we may look and think we have little strength. And I'm telling you, the church is not what it thinks it is. I'm here to tell you that the church is not at all what it thinks it is. I believe the church in a lot of ways has little strength.
That's right.
But it's time to get up in the littleness of our own strength and go through the door that God has put before us.
Jesus.
God has put before us an open door. And at a certain point in her desperation, she begins to lament. And this is her cry, Lord, bring forth life, lest I die. Lest I die. Lord, give spiritual reproduction. Lord, raise up lasting fruit. Lord, raise up mature fruit. God, give offspring. Give spiritual heritage. When's the last time We've opened up ourselves to God's lamentation of things. Not our own cry, but God's cry. What is God after? What does God want? I believe it's imperative to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and a heart that is open to the groaning of the Holy Spirit. What is God speaking? What is He wanting to communicate? What is He looking to address and impart into our lives? Rachel refused to be comforted. She refused to be comforted with superficial comfort. I don't want to be one that has a superficial comfort in my life.
Thank you.
I believe the Lord wants me to say this as well. There is a generation coming up after us. Brothers, sisters, there is a generation coming up after us.
Yes.
And God has not forgotten them. God has not forgotten this generation. God wants to birth life again in this generation.
Yes.
Do we have a heart to see this generation? Or are we just going to leave them behind in pursuit of our own things? Now, I think God, and trust me this morning, this isn't me, but trust, because I wouldn't say these things. I thank God for the higher and the deeper things of God. But if we follow God at the peril, in that way at the peril of leaving others behind in pursuit of our own thing, we're missing it.
Right.
We are missing it. My cry is, God, give us spiritual heritage again.
Yes.
Give us spiritual offspring. Listen, the battle is for the hearts of men. I want to tell you this morning, it's not between Democrat, it's not between Republican, and it's not between Libertarian. It is for the hearts of men. That is where the battle is. Yes. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Galatians 6:12 tells us our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. It is against those things that are so entrenched, so determined to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've never witnessed in my whole life, and I've only been on the earth a short 54 years, but I've never witnessed a time before when I've seen such a force of evil that is out to destroy, to divide, to deceive, to enslave not just the weak among us and the most vulnerable, but even those that think themselves strong.
Right.
And to bring down the testimony of Jesus Christ and to remove his relevance in the earth. I tell you, our voices to a large degree have been marginalized. And we have rightfully so, and perhaps rightfully so, been cast out as salt to be trodden under the feet of men. But I want to tell you, it's all because the lamentation of God has been replaced with a gratification of self.
Right.
All we look to is our, is what can I get out of it?
Yeah.
Instead of, God, what do you want?
Right.
What do you want from my life?
Yes.
And we've been left, as it were, as a city in a field. We've been left as a besieged people. But God is putting before us again open doors. God is putting before us doors that no man can shut.
Yes.
Thank you.
True spiritual awakening is a result when we see, when we embrace our true condition.
Yes.
When we see what we really are, and yet we cry out to God again with the groan that God gives for Him to move again. Rachel refused to be comforted. God, give life lest I die. God, give again. God, birth again. God, raise up again the fruit of your testimony in the earth. And I believe He is doing that. I believe He is doing that in the people. But I desire to see that of greater proportion. I desire to see that of a greater urgency on the hearts of God's people. God told Adam, be fruitful and multiply. Jesus in the New Testament, using similar language, said, I've come that you might have fruit and that your fruit should remain.
Amen.
I've looked around and I have been saddened sometimes when I look and I see fruit that just seems to fall to the ground so quickly and die. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and fruit, and your fruit is to remain. And I'm at a loss for words when I look around and I see the state of the church. And when I see the state of this generation, I've shared this the last time I spoke a few years ago. I drive a school bus part-time for one of the local school districts. And I have heard story after story after story of young lives being snuffed out. Snuffed out. I'll give you an example. I recently heard, just a few days ago, in one of the local school districts that is a few miles from me, bus driver came in the morning. He was greeted by the head of transportation. He was told, we want you to go into another room. We need to speak to you. He goes into the room, and all the drivers are there, and there's a state trooper there. And the state trooper proceeds to tell him, if you're on your bus route today and you notice any students that you don't recognize, do not let them on your bus. And they said, well, why? Well, we can't tell you why. Just don't let them on your bus. Well, he came to find out that there were students that were planning to shoot up the school. And there happened to be over 40 kids involved in this plot. 40 kids. And here's the clincher. They were all 8th and 9th graders. 8th and 9th graders. And thank God they were able to spoil that before anything happened. But I'm sharing that because there is something that is out there trying to destroy this generation of life. But Rachel said, God, give life again, lest I die. God, bring forth life again, lest I die. And you see, the difference between our lamentation and God's lamentation is that our lamentation stays a sad song. But God's lamentation doesn't. It may be a sad song, but it is filled with hope. It is filled with expectation, and it is filled with anticipation.
Hallelujah.
Listen to what the book of Lamentations says. Jeremiah speaking. In chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "Arise and cry out in the night. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to Him for the life of your little ones who faint because of hunger at the head of every street." Let me read that again. "Arise, cry out in the night. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to Him for the life of your little ones who faint because of hunger at the head of every street." No doubt when Jeremiah wrote these words, he wrote it from a broken heart. Jeremiah witnessed people possessing no lasting inner strength. He saw the godlessness that was infiltrating the very fabric of his culture and generation and the people of God. He saw old and young alike being deprived of that which would give them hope and a future. And he saw those, as it were, choosing to live in the present, left the future behind or the promise that God had given to them. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here and you're, because of the present situation, you've lost sight of the promise that God has spoken to you. You've lost sight of the future that God has spoken into your life. I tell you, Jeremiah was grieved, and the Holy Spirit gave voice to his lamentation. And I want to ask you today, is your heart pained over these things? Is your heart crying out, "God, do something again. Do something in our young people. God, do something in your church. God, awaken life. Bring forth life again. Lord, do something." A few weeks ago, actually a couple of months ago, the Lord had put on my heart that we needed to take our youth and every quarter we were to have a youth service where the youth could come together and they would minister. They would lead the worship. They would bring forth a message. And they would pray for the church. It would be a time of blessing the church. And I want to tell you that we had our first one just this past week. And it was glorious. It was glorious. I want to tell you, God's doing something.
Yes.
It was wonderful to see our young people come together and worship God and get up and share a message. My son, who's 18, I remember him when he was born. He was premature. His lungs were underdeveloped. And for 3 weeks he laid in intensive care, hanging in the balance. And I would go to the hospital just to see him through the glass. I couldn't at times even touch him. In And to see him standing behind the pulpit, sharing the word.
Amen.
18 years later. Did something to my heart. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I want to plead with you. It's more than just you and I. It's more than that. God wants us to reach out and not forget those of this generation as well.
Amen.
And I say that out of love. Because we can pursue a lot of things and it's good. But if we miss God, His total picture, then what good is that? But they came together, they worshiped, they shared. And there was a young man that got up whose older siblings used to come to our church and they're not walking with the Lord. And he poured his heart out. And he asked for prayer. And to see the youth gather around him and pray, I said, Lord, bring forth life again. Bring forth life again. God, and you know what? It has never been about us. It has never been about you. It has never been about me. It has never been about us.
Amen.
It has always been about Him. And it's always been about others. Jesus came for others.
Yes, Jesus.
And I want to just challenge you this morning. I feel to challenge you. I feel compelled to tell you that there is a generation that is coming up. And God does not want us to forget them. God does not want us to leave them behind.
Hallelujah.
I am thankful for those who have gone to the mission field. I'm thankful for Rick. I'm thankful for Lou. I'm thankful for Bert and Arlene and Mark and the others that go to serve and pour themselves out. But there's also a mission field right here.
Amen.
Right here. And God wants to bring a further groaning in our hearts that will cry out for our little ones who are fainting from hunger at the top of every street. Jeremiah carried the lamentation of the Lord because he understood and he refused to let go of the promise of God. He understood the tragedy in any culture and in any generation that took the truth of God and the grace of God and dealt with it casually.
Hallelujah.
I want to ask you this question. When is the last time you fed the Lord with your tears?
Come on.
When is the last time you fed the Lord with your tears for others?
Yes.
When is the last time we've allowed the Holy Spirit to give voice to His voice, His lamentation to our, to His lamentation?
Thank you, Lord.
When's the last time you fed the Lord with your tears? When's the last time you fed Him with your tears for others? When's the last time you cried out and said, God, do something again lest I die? God, I want you to move again. Lord, we need you to move again. Listen to what Jeremiah says in verse 30. He says, my soul remembers them and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. And His compassions never fail.
Never.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord redefine our definition of comfort. There has to be a voice again heard, a groaning of the Holy Spirit that weeps but yet rejoices at the same time. Jeremiah says, when I look, God, when I look at the situation, when I look at the depravity all around me, Lord, though my heart is filled with weeping and though my heart is groaning, Lord, I remember something when I look at the situation. I remember that your mercies are new every morning. God, I remember and I'm bowed down. I call to remembrance. I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, and His compassions never fail. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. The scripture tells us the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Despite what I see, despite the barrenness that is all around us, despite the death that is all around us, God, give voice. God, bring life. Many of us know the story of Lazarus. God brought that to a desperate situation. Lord, he's dead. He's in the grave 4 days. Roll away the stone. But Lord, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days, Lord. Roll away the stone. But Lord, you just don't understand. He's beyond any hope. There's death all around. Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. For I tell you, did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Because I want to bring life out of death.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to bring life again out of death.
Thank you.
Other voices will whisper. They'll try to tell you, listen, the testimony of God is nothing but a bunch of dirty clothes or bloody clothes. And what I mean by that is when they came to Isaac about Joseph, they said, you know what? There's nothing left of the testimony of God but bloody clothes. There's nothing left. See, this is it. And the enemy would want us to look all around at the situations in the church and look all around at the devastation in the world and look all around at the darkness that is covering the earth. But I'm here to tell you, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the enemy would whisper and say, listen, there's nothing left to the testimony of God but a bunch of dirty, bloody clothes. But what did the scripture say? The scripture says Isaac refused to be comforted. He refused. And God did not forget Joseph. Right? But he brought life. He sustained Joseph to bring life to a future generation.
Yes. Yes.
To bring life out of the barrenness and the famine that was all around. May the Lord do it again in us, beloved. May the Lord do it again in us. And I trust and I hope you hear my heart today. Maybe I wasn't as eloquent as I could have been, but you know what? Hear my heart. God wants to do something today. He wants to bring forth life in us. He wants to once again put his lamentation in us, a groaning too deep for words. You know, Romans says it's a groaning for the coming of the manifestation of the sons of God. Yes. That we would be a people that would groan once again. God, bring forth your life in the earth. Bring forth your life in the church. Bring forth your life in my own life. So I want to leave you with this. God has not forgotten us.
No, he hasn't.
He's not forgotten any of us here. And there are some this morning that God wants you to know he has not forgotten you. And he wants to do something again in your life. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, you.